This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday is once again upon us, which means there is a whole week's worth of stuff to talk about. And really, it's been a pretty busy 5 days, so here to help us figure out what happened are Lynette Lopez from Business Insider and Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville. Hey, guys.
Hey, Kai.
All right, so let's start very quickly, first of all, Lynette, with the headline economic number of today, gross domestic product revised upward 4.2% to 4.6%. Give me your gut check.
All in all, this is great news. Everybody likes revision up. Everybody yes. likes a solid GDP number. It came in just in line with expectations. What we want to see now is consistency. We want that number to be good all the time. Instead, it kind of keeps waffling.
Well, Cardiff, about that, we're coming off a quarter of negative, I can't even remember, 1%, 2% growth. How much longer can we do the, you know, two steps forward, one step back thing?
Yeah, and I mean, some of this was a bounce back. Something to be worried yeah. about is that since the summer started, the pace of jobs growth has slowed a little bit. Inflation is moderated. So I'm actually feeling pretty relieved from where I was earlier in the year when we all worried that maybe what the downturn in the first quarter wasn't just a weather-related blip. It looks like it really was. Mm-hmm. That said, a lot depends on policy going forward. So I'm optimistic, cautiously, and it's no time to get complacent.
And policy going forward, of course, means Congress, and that, you know, that's just up in the air anyway. All right.
Let us
go a little inside baseball here, and I need you guys to drag us back out. Big news in the bond market today. Bill Gross, who runs the biggest bond fund in the world at a company called Pacific Investment Management Company, PIMCO, which he founded, resigned today out of nowhere. He's going to a much smaller firm. Lynette, make regular people care.
This is really just an incredible human story. This guy was at the top of Wall Street. He was a legend. He's 70 years old. He built this firm with his own hands. And then suddenly in January, people started to really worry when his co-CIO left the firm.
Mm-hmm. A guy by the name of Mohammed El Aryan, also a very big deal.
Very well-respected economist. They were expected to be buddies for life. It started People started questioning what was going on at PIMCO. And then all of a sudden, these crazy reports started coming out. Bill Gross had this erratic behavior. He mm-hmm. thought he was the greatest thing known to man. And then in June, he appeared on stage to the tune of Rob Thomas and Carlos Santana's Smooth, wearing shades. And literally everyone thought he had lost his mind.
And now he up and quits. Cardiff, this guy could, I suppose, move the Treasury bond market all by his lonesome.
Yeah, that's what a lot of people are saying. I mean,
I detect cynicism.
It's not cynicism. I'm always skeptical of assigning causes to short-term swings in the market. That includes the Treasury market. This is a story for, I think, people who are invested in PIMCO's funds. Mm-hmm. And this is a story for people who follow this stuff carefully. Otherwise, I'm not so sure. I want to spend too much time making the regular person care. You know, I'm not so sure that he or she should.
All right. Fair enough. A story now that perhaps most of us should have paid more attention to back during the financial crisis. This American Life This Weekend, the radio program, which I'm sure a lot of people know, has been working with ProPublica on a story about recordings made inside the New York Fed during and after the financial crisis about the New York Fed's dealings with Goldman Sachs. It is a story of regulatory capture, Cardiff, and what regulators know and knew about what Goldman was doing and really how much they cared. It's kind of an amazing thing.
It's an incredible report. I think we actually have to take a step back to 2008 when the New York Fed commissioned an independent report investigating just what it failed to do, what it missed in the years leading up to the financial crisis. And one of the things the report found was that this is a big cultural story, a cultural problem inside the regulators. They were afraid to be confrontational. They were afraid to push back against the bankers. And what the report showed was that as recently as 2012, those problems had not yet been solved. There's a lot of reason to be doubtful that that they've been solved in the time since.
Lynette, how shocked are you?
I'm not shocked at all.
Right.
And one thing that you'll notice in the first 10 minutes of this American Life piece is that these are two cultures that when put together, Wall Street plus this regulatory capture at the Fed are disastrous. Somebody at Goldman was at the Fed saying something about how when their clients have a certain amount of money, the rules are fungible. They don't really the rules don't apply to those clients anymore. So you have this I don't care whatever attitude from Goldman, like let's just do it, shoot first, ask questions later. And then at the Fed you have this appeasement. And people thought that it was great that the Fed was, you know, inside these Wall Street banks with offices,
physically inside, yeah.
Physically inside the banks. But what research has shown is that that was actually a problem because, you know, the regulators wanted to be friends with the people at the banks and they didn't want to ruin their lives.
Regulatory capture. It is the phrase of the day. Lynette Lopez from Business Insider and Cardiff Garcia from the blog FT Alphaville. Thanks, you guys.
Thanks, Kai.
Thanks, Kai.